The Apostle Peter wrote, "The end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. For whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Would you pray briefly with me again? Our Father in heaven, we long that your Spirit would work through your word to train our hearts. God, grant us repentance from our sin and teach us how you work in your church. And teach us as the human instruments that you use how to serve you for your glory. Lord, we long that your Spirit would apply your word to build us up into maturity, that we might function more and more in a way that might bring glory to you as a light, a city on a hill that shines forth the glory of your grace throughout this city and to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Peter began in verse 7 saying, "The end of all things is at hand." And so we have been considering over several Lord's days the life in these last days. We've been considering the nature of life in these last days. And by these last days, I mean the days wherein Christ is risen from the grave and he's reigning as our King and the head of the church at God's right hand. And this Christ, our Savior and King, gives to believers in the church gifts through his Spirit. And he uses these gifts to care for the church and to expand his kingdom. And these gifts, they come from the Spirit of the risen Christ, the Spirit of the risen Messiah. They are given for the purpose of serving others in the church. And the gifts give us a responsibility as believers and members of the church, a responsibility to use those gifts in obedience to Christ and to use our gifts for the glory of God. These are all important truths that we must embrace concerning the theology of the hands of God. We who are the hands of God, or the hands of Christ, that is. We're going to consider this morning, though, the subject of the hands of Christ in action. Now, Peter does not give us a long list of spiritual gifts like we find in Romans and 1 Corinthians through the writing of the Apostle Paul. Instead, Peter lists two gifts. And these two gifts are meant to summarize the diverse ways in which the Spirit of Christ equips believers to serve in his church. And we're going to consider these two gifts. They are speaking and serving. Speaking and serving. And our goal in looking at this is to prepare ourselves to be stewards of the very grace of God. And I think these two examples help us understand how we do use the gifts that Christ gives as his hands in the church. Well, let's begin with the first gift that Peter lists, that gift of speaking. And that is our first point this morning, as you'll find in our outline. In verse 11 here, Peter wrote, "Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God." Whoever's given the gift of speaking is to speak as one who speaks the oracles of God. Now, speaking here does not mean our casual conversation, like the conversation we might have over coffee in a few minutes. Rather, speaking means speaking or teaching or preaching the word of God. Now, no one can proclaim Christ unless he has the Spirit of God. And it is God's Spirit who equips us to speak or teach or preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gift of speaking the word of God, this gift that Peter lists, it summarizes really the official office of the pastoral ministry and the responsibility of anyone in a position of teaching God's word or evangelizing the lost. And so we're going to consider this gift as it relates to both pastors and teachers and as it relates to every believer in the church. Let's consider first how Peter and this word addresses pastors and teachers. We need to know that the risen Christ, after he ascended into heaven, called men and still calls men to the office of pastor, or what we call teaching elder in our denomination. And Christ gives them the spiritual gift of preaching and teaching his word. We often think incorrectly that men with natural abilities for public speaking must be called to be pastors. And there is although the Lord often uses those natural abilities, just because someone is a good speaker does not mean that he has received that spiritual gift to be a preacher of the gospel. You see, the pastoral ministry is not a natural gift. The ability to preach, rather, is a supernatural gift. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And because of the public nature of the gospel ministry, the gifts of preaching and teaching, especially that official public office, requires public recognition by the church and specifically by the presbytery. The pastor is gifted by God's Spirit for this purpose, to proclaim the oracles of God. You see, ministers have been gifted and given authority to preach one thing. They are called by Christ to proclaim the words of Christ. They're not called to be corporate psychologists. They're not called to be self-help teachers or leaders. They are called to be preachers and proclaimers of the word of Christ. And therefore, God holds ministers accountable for this work. And it means that there is no room for human invention in the ministry of the word. Rather, when the minister preaches with faithfulness to Christ and faithfulness to the word of God, what he does is he proclaims the word of God. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, Peter taught that pastors and teachers are gifts to the church, along with those extraordinary offices of apostles, prophets, and evangelists. Pastors and teachers are gifts to the church. Now, this can be an awkward statement. I recently heard a presbyter examining a man, a candidate for the ministry, and he said, "Are you Christ's gift to the church?" And it's kind of an awkward question because the answer is yes and no. The pastor is not a gift to the church like we would say that guy believes he's God's gift to women. I don't know if that makes sense. It seems like there are some guys that think they are the gift to women, that they are the blessing to all women by their good looks and strength and charisma, etc. But that's not what Christ means. A pastor is not a gift to the church like we see this phrase used in the world. Rather, the pastoral ministry, it's not about a man's natural ability to bless the church, his natural charisma or personality. This gift in the pastoral ministry is about Christ using a man to proclaim the word to the church. You see, the pastor is a steward of God's word. He does Christ's work in preaching, and the Spirit of Christ blesses that word and makes it a means of grace as it is proclaimed. The Spirit of Christ equips the saints through the word, and the Spirit of Christ builds up the church into maturity through that word proclaimed. And so the pastor teacher must preach only the word of God. And that is his calling, and that is his spiritual gift. And so if you are interested in pursuing the pastoral ministry, you must understand the calling. And if you are in a place of choosing a pastor, calling a pastor, you must understand the calling. Pastors have the responsibility to preach and to teach God's word. And it doesn't matter how you feel on a given week. You have an obligation, if you've been given that gift, to preach the word. Ministers of Christ must preach Christ in season and out of season, when it's safe and when it's dangerous. And you must proclaim the whole counsel of God, no matter what consequences you face. And so if you are considering the pastoral ministry, you need to understand that calling very clearly. And if you are in a place of looking for a pastor a long time in the future, 30 years or 40 years from now, I hope, or as you're sitting under pastors, or if you're looking for a church, don't look for a pastor that has good looks or this great personality. What you want to find is a pastor who faithfully preaches the word of Christ. That is the most important thing, because that is what Christ calls pastors to do. He gives these human instruments as gifts to his church, and he uses them to feed his sheep the word of God. You see, the gift of the ministry of the gospel, this gift that Christ has given to his church, it must transform how you listen to the reading and the preaching of the word. Do not listen to the man. So often today, people listen to the men, and they follow a certain pastor from church to church. And, you know, I'm very thankful that there are these amazingly gifted preachers that the Lord has used to provide a voice for the gospel to many corners of our world that wouldn't necessarily listen or give attention to the preaching of the word. We need to thank the Lord for men like this. But these extraordinarily gifted preachers are somewhat unique. But the Lord gives ministers to each of his churches. And we need to look at them not in terms of their style or their personality, but we need to know that the Lord has given them, these ministers, as gifts to us. And when we sit under their preaching, we are called to focus on the word of God that is being proclaimed. And we must believe that the preaching of the word is the word of God. And therefore, we must listen. We must listen to the human instruments that Christ has given to us as we would listen while sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, he said, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." You see, it's very important that every member of the church comprehend the calling of the office of pastor and the great gift that Christ has given you. Because when you understand that, you will receive the preaching of the word in a whole different way. Whether you have a struggling seminary student preaching the word, or whether, you know, Sinclair Ferguson is in the pulpit before you, you will look to Christ and you will listen for Christ's word, and you will receive it with faith. Christ gives the church pastors and teachers. They are spiritual gifts to the church to speak and proclaim the oracles of God. But this is also responsibility that comes to most every believer. See, Christ gives all believers opportunities to speak about or speak the word of God at different times and in different circumstances. One example is our Christian education program. This program, these Sunday school classes, provide opportunities for many members in the church to teach the word of God. And so in those settings, make sure that you are speaking from the scriptures and not from your own opinion. And make sure that you're not teaching your own agenda. Rather, realize that you are there to teach the word of Christ. Christ has commanded parents to raise children in the instruction of the Lord. And so if you are a parent, or if you are a grandparent, you have a present responsibility to teach God's word to your children. And we who are members in the church, we are a covenant community, and we have a responsibility, even if we don't have children, to bear witness to the word of Christ to the other children in this church. And in many informal settings, we can share Christ with unbelievers, and we can encourage our brethren with the gospel. There are many opportunities for each of us to speak the oracles of God. And so we have a responsibility to develop a reverence for God's holy word and for Christ's authority in our lives. So study the scriptures. Study them to know the scriptures and understand them, but even more so to know our triune God as he reveals us himself in the scriptures, so that you can communicate the truth of God and testify to his grace every time the Lord provides opportunity for you to speak. And in whatever capacity you have been given to speak on behalf of Christ, remember that you must remain faithful to God's word. For with the authority of Christ, the Apostle Peter says, whoever speaks, speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God. And that takes us to our second point, serving. Peter summarizes the many spiritual gifts and functions in the church under this one word, serving, and this one action, serving. He wrote, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God provides. Now, serving here, it specifically represents the office of deacon. Deacons serve as they've been given a spiritual gift for that office. Now, you need to remember, if you're a deacon, very often you're called because you do have these skills and these gifts. But remember, although a lot of your work is hands-on, it doesn't seem to be very spiritual. It is. It's a spiritual office. It's a spiritual gift that Christ and his Spirit has given you to officially serve and lead in that service in the context of his church. And furthermore, every believer serves. Every believer should serve Christ in some capacity in the church. The Holy Spirit gives gifts to each of us for service. And that's what Peter says in verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. And we must realize that these gifts are diverse. Each of us are different. These gifts aren't confined necessarily to the list given by Peter and Paul. Rather, what we find is that God's Spirit gives people many combinations of gifts, and they just don't fit into one neat box. Even Peter, as he listed out the spiritual gifts that the Spirit of Christ gives, he's just listing a summary of them. We have many combinations of them. And sometimes there are other gifts that may not be enumerated specifically by Peter or Paul. But nevertheless, what we know is that God gives each of us gifts to serve him in his church. And so whatever your gift for serving may be, there is a universal principle that you must put into action as you serve Christ and his church. And that principle answers the question, how do I do it? How do I serve in the church? How do I put my hands to action? And the answer is that we must serve as those who depend upon the grace that God supplies. We must serve as those who depend upon the grace that God supplies. Service in whatever capacity is a supernatural work. And God's Spirit strengthens us, and God's Spirit equips us for this work in his church. Those who have participated in the diaconal work in the church understand that it is really hard work. It is emotionally and it is physically draining at times. And if you try to do it in your own strength, if you try to take on that mercy ministry of Christ in your own strength, you'll find that you will become bitter and you will grumble. You will fall and hurt those whom you are called to serve. And so Peter gives wise counsel to depend upon the strength of the Lord, the strength that the Lord and his Spirit provides for the service he gives us to do in his church. I want you to consider three fruits this morning of depending upon God's strength. Depending upon God's strength as we seek to serve him. And the first is that dependence upon God's strength, it keeps us humble. See, when we depend upon God's strength as we serve in the church, it keeps us humble. Remember, Christ gives us spiritual gifts so that we can serve as his hands and his feet and his heart and his mouths in the church. He doesn't call us to serve our own purposes. He doesn't call us to implement our own plans in the church. He gives us gifts to do his work. And he uses us to display his grace. And so when we depend upon God's strength to serve others in the church, what we do is we take the focus off of ourselves and we place the focus of our hands and our work and our hearts upon the purpose of Christ. These gifts, they don't deserve a place on our resumes. That's not why Christ gives them to us. These gifts, rather, should humble us. Because unless the Spirit of Christ gives us strength and ability, we can do no good for Christ or for his church. So the first fruit of depending upon God's strength as we serve him is that it keeps us humble. It keeps us humble. And second, depending upon God's strength takes us beyond what we think is possible. Depending upon God's grace takes us beyond what we think is possible. Many times Christ presents a need or he gives us a work. And our response is, or at least my response is, I have no idea what I can do. I have no idea where the resources can come from. I have no idea how to answer this question. But you see, when we depend upon God's grace, what we find is He takes us beyond what we think is possible, beyond what we can comprehend being able to do. And so we must trust that Christ provides all the gifts necessary for the work of the church. And we do this by seeking His strength for the work that's before us. You may never have done a certain work. You may never have served in a certain way, but if you are willing to serve Christ, He will do things that you never anticipated being possible through you. And actually, as you're willing to serve Christ and depend upon His strength, you will discover how Christ has gifted you simply by being willing to serve. Now, sometimes we learn that we don't have a particular gift, and that's okay. But unless you get out there and serve and answer that call of Christ, you're not going to know if you have that gift. And other times, Christ gives us gifts to do His work. As a small congregation, many things seem impossible. But if you look back over our history, you can see the evidence that God has provided strength to do many things that no one thought were possible. Service in the church, it does not depend upon our natural ability. It depends upon the strength that God provides and supplies to us. So dependence upon God's strength, it keeps us humble, and it takes us beyond what we think is possible. And third, dependence upon God's strength glorifies God, because His power is made perfect in our weakness. This is the testimony of Paul. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul revealed how he had struggled in the ministry because of a weakness that God would not remove. And in verse 9 of that chapter, the Lord revealed why God left that thorn in Paul's flesh. And this is what Paul wrote. "But God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Where in the world are we taught this message? To boast in our weakness so that someone else may be glorified, much less that Christ, our Savior, may be glorified. You see, Peter teaches nothing new here. He teaches the universal and the simple truth that Peter taught, and he applies it to us. He wrote that we must serve by the strength that God provides. And here's the end. "In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Remember that when you receive a gift, it's not just a gift for your own possession. Rather, you are the gift of Christ to the church. And so, do you serve hoping that people will notice you? Do you serve hoping that people will praise you? That indeed is the wrong motive. Rather, we must serve the Lord in His strength because we do His work. And when we faithfully depend upon Him, drawing no attention to ourselves, He is glorified. We stop and ask how we just did what we did as He works in us. And in those moments, we will know that it was by the strength of the Lord. God is glorified as Christ, our King, gives us gifts to serve Him and gives us strength through His Spirit. And so in whatever way Christ calls you to serve, do it with the strength that God supplies. Well, I want to conclude by considering the question, how you discover your gifts. That's a question that's answered by many. What are my gifts? What is my ministry in the church? Well, we learn from this passage how to discover the spiritual gifts that God has given. First, the first principle is that we must begin by believing that Christ gives spiritual gifts to his people. And so we must begin by expecting to receive God's grace at some times and for various functions. And second, we must remember that Christ gives us gifts so that we can serve one another. We must remember that Christ gives us gifts, and we must remember the purpose that we are given them to serve one another. And so when you search for your spiritual gift or gifts, don't ask what you want to do. Ask what is needed today in the church. And the third principle is this. Know that God commands us to be stewards of his varied grace. And so you must actively serve him. We discover our gifts by serving the Lord in the church. You're not going to discover your spiritual gifts through examining yourself. That's the way many churches try to identify spiritual gifts, taking some psychological profile and seeing how we're naturally wired and identifying our gifts. But I think what we find in the scriptures is you don't learn how Christ has given you, or has gifted you, by meditating upon who you are. Rather, you discover your gifts by actively serving. And so how do you discover them? Look around and observe what needs to be done in the church and then do it. Endeavor to do it by the strength of God. Don't serve your own interests. Rather, serve where there is true need in the church. When people ask you for help, help them. When the session or deacons communicate a need, step up and answer that call. And you see, as we, the household of God, speak the truth and love to one another, the Lord will reveal where he has gifted you. And so if you find that you just don't have a certain gift, don't be embarrassed that you fumbled through a Sunday school class or that you totally botched a job that maybe you thought you would try to do. Just humbly serve the Lord and be thankful that his Spirit is working in us to reveal our gifts and to use us. And what you'll also find is as you step up to the plate and you serve and you try to help where there Christ reveals the needs in the church is that you'll find that you may try that you have gifts that you never even knew. You may not think that you are someone gifted with encouragement. But as you just simply try to speak and to those in need and comfort your brothers and sisters, that they were comforted, that they were encouraged, and you never thought you could do that. But you see, unless we serve, unless we're actively seeking to depend upon God's strength to do what he calls us to in the church, we're never going to understand and identify how Christ has given us a gift. Another thing to consider, beyond the willingness to serve by God's strength, is that we need to not get into a rut. You see, the Holy Spirit works according to God's will. And so you might be gifted to serve in a certain capacity for one season of your life and in a different capacity in another time. And so you cannot just say that you have a specific gift and think that that will never change. You can't say, I have the gift of whatever, and see a need going on somewhere else in the church and say, no, I'm gifted here, not there. But rather, you need to know that it's the Spirit of Christ working in us that determines your gift. And so we all need a willingness to do whatever is needed in the church. So instead of thinking that your gift will never change, you need to be humble and willing to serve however the Lord provides. And if you're willing to serve by the strength that God supplies, you're going to be surprised to discover how the Lord uses you for His glory. As Christ captures our hearts to serve Him, we will see more and more fruit in the church. And so remember the age in which we live, these last days. And remember why we serve Christ, our reigning King. And listen to Paul's words, to Peter's words. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. And therefore, as each has received a gift, brothers and sisters, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we do seek Your blessing upon Your word. Lord, we know that if You would pull Your Spirit from among us, we would close down. We would be left wanting and in need. And so, Father, we ask that You might give the gifts needed for the ministry of Christ here in our congregation. Lord, we are so thankful for Your work in us here this week, how You have raised up many people to help the Venskyvers. We're thankful for that maturity and how You are working in us and the many people that we're willing to serve, some who were more skilled than others, but all who were willing to come alongside a brother and sister in need. Lord, continue to work in our hearts, to continue to develop our gifts and give us opportunity to serve. And in everything that we do, Lord, equip us with Your strength so that whatever we do would bring glory to You and there would be no glory in man, but rather people would see us and know that we are Christians by our love for one another. Know that we are Christians because our profession of faith and our dependence upon You. And Lord, we ask that Your Spirit would continue to apply this word throughout the week. We thank You so much for feeding our souls. And we thank You especially for raising Christ and setting Him at Your right hand as our King. Help us by faith to look to Him, to reign over us, and help us to know all the wonderful blessings of being subjects of the King of righteousness. In His precious name we pray. Amen.